Good morning. It is good to be with all of you this morning. We're going to step into the Word of God and spend our time wisely as we look at what God has for us and the things that He wants us to know and that He wants us to be thinking about. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in the book of Proverbs, so if you have a Bible in your hands and you want to mark a place where we will be more frequently than anywhere else, we will find ourselves in the book of Proverbs here in just a little while. Have you ever criticized anyone, or has anyone ever criticized you? I think most of us would say, yes, I have offered criticism, or yes, I've been criticized. And if you're the one doing the criticizing, how do you couch that as you start? You say, I want to offer some constructive criticism, typically is what we'll say. This is constructive. This is given to build you up. But if you're being criticized, many times that is offensive right off the bat. Someone is looking at you, they've evaluated something about your life, and they're saying, you're not quite right. You need a little more help, and I'm the one to give it to you. And so that's complicated, isn't it? When you receive criticism, when someone comes to you and says something to you that the intention is to improve who you are, or maybe to think about the way that you're living or the way that you come off to others. Norman Vincent Peale said, we would rather be ruined by praise than be saved by criticism. And that can be true. I would much rather have someone commend and compliment me, even though I'm doing nothing right, than have someone say, hey, I've been watching and I think we need to visit a little bit about the life that you're living or the words that you use or whatever the case may be. This lesson is for us. Before we criticize, there are going to be times in our lives when we see someone making a mistake or several mistakes, and they could be hurting others by these mistakes that they make. They could even be hurting themselves. If we try to step in and offer criticism, it can end up making things worse because the person receiving that criticism may be injured by what you said, and they go off and they pay no attention to the words that you offered to them. People do not like being criticized, and yet when we watch them and we see them, we know that they need help. If we're going to offer constructive criticism, we need to put some serious thought into our words and into our actions before we criticize. And what we'll do is we'll just ask a few questions. So before I offer criticism to someone, I want to ask a few questions. If you would, look with me at Philippians chapter 2. You can still keep your finger in Proverbs. But let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and the beginning of that chapter. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, and any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. This is a phenomenal passage for us to have in our hearts and our minds as we're thinking about going to someone and saying something to someone for their good, to benefit them. You see the way that is worded? If there is any consolation, to be consoled in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy. So he's asking all these questions. If these things exist, then go out and esteem yourself, not higher than other people, but of the same mind, of the same heart, and of the same spirit. That we would come and we would say something to someone who does need to hear that, but our heart would be right. We would say that in a spirit that would be easier for them to receive. And that's going to be important for us. If I'm going to offer criticism, surely I want you to hear it. Surely I've seen something in you that needs attention, and I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to be offended or injured by that. Criticism can be very helpful. It can be very good for the person who is receiving that criticism. So before we criticize, we'll ask these questions. First of all, why am I criticizing? Why do I think I'm the one to say something to this person? Are my intentions pure and wholesome, or is there something else going on? That's a big question. Are my intentions pure and wholesome, or is there something else going on inside of me that maybe needs to be sorted out first? Is this for me, or is this for them? I think that's a huge question, too. I'm going to offer criticism, and who is this for? Is it for me? so that I can say these things to them? Or is it for them to be built up and to be established, to be stronger, to be better people? The problem is, brothers and sisters, that if I go to someone and criticize them just because I'm looking for the opportunity to say, I told you so. Remember that day I pulled you aside and told you all these things would happen? And here we are, you're in the mess you're in because I told you so. That's not valuable. That has nothing to do with Philippians chapter 2, does it? Just to go in and to say, boy, I sure forewarned you about all this, and you went your way anyway. Sometimes there are moments when that is appropriate. Someone has absolutely stiffened their neck and hardened their heart, and they march toward disaster. And sometimes we do have to say to them, you know, we talked about this. But again, my intentions are wholesome and they're pure. I want to remind them that we had this conversation. You could have changed this much earlier than now. Will you hear me this time? You know, that's appropriate. But just to march in and to gloat and to say, boy, I predicted the future on this one. Well, congratulations. You were right, they were wrong, and they're still in the mess they're in. They still need help. But because of our spirit and because of our approach, they will not listen to us. Now watch these Proverbs. I asked you to mark Proverbs. You may have been wondering when we were going to get there. Well, we're here. Proverbs 9 in verse 9 says this. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Why am I criticizing? Is this to help someone be built up, to be established, to grow wiser than they are already? To save them some trouble and some injury? That would be a good thing. Look at Proverbs 11 and verse 14. These are deep spiritual truths about who we are and the counsel and the instruction that we need. Proverbs 11 and verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so if no one is there to counsel, no one will say the right things. Then people stumble and they fall because they're left to themselves. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the way thereof, is the end of it is death, is what Proverbs 14 and verse 12 tells us. Proverbs 15 and verse 22 says, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now we're offering criticism because we can help and because we know that when there's counselors around a person who wants to do well, that they will be strengthened by that. And their plans will be established. They will do well because they're listening to someone that they know loves them. Proverbs 27 in verse 9. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. That's an interesting passage as we think about criticism this morning. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. This doesn't say that if a man has a friend, his friend's going to criticize him to death. There's a picture here that we should take note of and that we should see in verse 9. The sweetness of a man's friend. That's first. The sweetness of a man's friend. Then there is delight by hearty counsel when he comes. He already knows who his friend is. He knows that he is sweet, and he knows that it's being said out of love. I want to give you a New Testament example of some harsh criticism. And I mean, this is going to be tough. If we read this and we make the application to ourselves in the New Testament, this is going to be a very, very difficult pill to swallow. And can I just share with you that based on what's said, the only thing left that we can have comfort in is who's saying it. Look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Think about criticism. The way that it's given and the way that the Lord gives it. Revelation 3 and verse 17. Jesus is going to say to the church in Laodicea, beginning in verse 17, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Anybody want to keep listening to this? You think you're rich, you're poor, you're miserable, you're blind, you're naked. You're completely exposed. You have played the fool. None of us, if someone were to criticize us, would say, okay, tell me more. That's enough. I've heard enough. But remember, who's talking to us here? Now watch verse 18 in the way that the Lord will speak now. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And now watch verse 19. And as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. What was the Lord's approach in this matter? Were they in trouble? Were they in sin? This entire congregation is in serious trouble. They look to themselves, they think that they're rich, that they're well off, that they need nothing. And Jesus hits them hard. He says, no, it's the opposite. You're everything opposite of what you think you are. You are in sin. We know they're in sin because he tells them, unless you repent. Repent of your sin. How in the world will we get someone to hear us? By the way that we set it before them. This is the living, eternal Word of God. He told them what they needed to hear, and he told it to them very briefly. But they can secure their souls by what he's given to them. Those who I love, I rebuke, and I chasten. I know from experience in my own life that those who were first helping me with, you know, becoming a preacher speaking publicly, as I trip over my own tongue, that brethren, especially those who were working with me and had conversations that we had built and developed a relationship, brethren were very good to tell me what I needed to hear. That there were times, especially in the beginning, that I said some things that were not biblically sound or true. I had gone too far in some points that I was trying to make, and I said things that weren't found in the scriptures. And so, with the right heart and in the right spirit, these good men and women just found a time, not immediately. They didn't wait for me to step down and then they came up front, not to repent, but to tell me what I did wrong. It wasn't like that. They waited for a good opportunity, maybe a day or two. And they would say, you know, on Sunday you had said that, someone else has probably already mentioned it, so I'm aware. But they would say, I want to tell you that on Sunday you gave a great sermon. You told us that love was important. You told us that God cares about our heart. And so they would give me the good things first. That is a great tactic when you offer criticism. Because you say, look, it's not all bad. You did a great job. These are the good things that you said. But when you use this passage, you went too far. And let me just tell you why. So the instructions there, I'm more likely and ready to receive it because they kind of set me up. But by saying some of the good things that were true. And then they say that hard thing, and they say, just be careful, because we don't want to mislead anyone. And then they would finish that with another kind statement. I sure do appreciate what you said about baptism, though. And so it's been said in the right spirit. It's been said in love. There's peace. Someone's offering to me a way to improve, and there's no way for me to deny that. I can't run back to my wife and say, well, I'm under attack again. Well, what'd they say? And I can't tell her what they said. I can only tell that one part where I felt attacked. So it's been couched. It's been cushioned on both sides with positive things. Not everything you do is wrong or bad. You're doing great in these areas, and here's where you need improvement. That's done in love. It's done in a way that can be received by the person who needs it. If we know that and we believe it, then we'll offer it that way. So before I criticize, first of all, why am I criticizing? What's my goal? Is this for me or is this for them? Number two is, have I examined myself? And this probably should be painfully obvious to us because of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. If you look at Matthew 7 with me, we'll watch Jesus give instruction to those who would try to help someone else clear up their lives, to eliminate sin in their lives. Matthew 7 and verse 3, Jesus says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is just a simple self-examination. Am I the right person to say what needs to be said to this individual? Sometimes sin looks really bad on people because we can see our own sin in them. And I want to say to you that my sin looks a lot worse when you're doing it than it does when I'm doing it. Because I spent hours, I spent days, I spent months justifying my sin. But when I see you stumbling, maybe in the very same thing, I got all the advice in the world. You hear that old saying? Here, take my advice, I'm not using it. That's those kind of people. You can have it, I don't need it. Yeah, I do. I can't walk up to a brother who needs help with a log hanging out of my eye and say, I think I see a speck of dirt in your eye. That's hypocritical, that is foolish. Because everyone can see through it. Criticism can be very helpful when it's offered in the right spirit. It is respected when it comes from a thoughtful person. But let me just share with you that no one appreciates a hypocrite. They can see through your mask, and you can too, by the way. And so if I'm going to offer criticism, I have to examine myself. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 26 and verse 9. Proverbs 26, 9 says this, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. This is the person with the log in their eye who wants to remove the speck. I'm going to offer you a wise proverb, and it's like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard. He doesn't even feel it because of who you are and because you always pour forth or spill forth foolishness when you speak. You're not the one to offer criticism. You've got to shore up your own mind, your own actions, and the way that you use your words if you want people to respect you when you say, hey, it's time to have a conversation. Proverbs 26 in verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And this really is the heart of all of this, that if before I criticize, I want to make sure that I don't fit Proverbs 26 in verse 12. I don't fit inside that Proverbs. A man who's wise in his own, a man who's giving advice to everyone because he's super smart, and I just know that everyone's longing to hear what I think about any given matter. And so I offer advice constantly to everyone except for myself. There's more hope for a fool than for the one who's deceived himself to think that he is more wise or the wisest one to share information with someone who still needs help. You may notice I've not denied that at all in this lesson. We're not saying that these people don't need to be criticized or don't need that constructive criticism. We're talking about who we are when we step in front of them and say, I'm here to help you. This is going to be good for you. I believe this with all my heart. Because I've already evaluated why I'm criticizing. It's for your good. And I've also examined myself. My heart is pure. My intentions are wholesome. I want to benefit you. That is huge for us when we offer this help. Have I been helpful to these people in the past? If I'm going to run to them and help them, have I been helpful in the past? Have I said encouraging words before to them? Do they know that I mean them no harm? Do we have a healthy relationship? When I come to this person, do they know me and do I know them well enough to have a difficult conversation? Criticism almost always causes damage when there's no helpful suggestions to go along with it. If I truly want what's best for the person that I'm going to talk to, I can let them know that. It's such a great thing. I can tell them right off the bat, I love you, I care about you, and I hope, take note of this, this is a very, very helpful statement. I hope that what I say to you is said in the right spirit. You hear that? I hope that what I have to say to you is said in the right spirit. Doesn't that call upon God to intercede between us? That I am offering this in the purest of spirits that I possibly can. And I hope that you receive it in that way. May God be witness between us when I say these things to you, that my heart is right. And that when you hear them, that it's good for you and for your soul. That's such a good thing. I hope that when I say this to you, that I say it in the right spirit. Please remember that statement because it really helps. And by the way, it's not a camouflage or a cover to say all the hurtful things you can't wait to get out, because that's not the right spirit and you know it. I hope that what I say to you is said in the right spirit. That's a kind of a charge to me initially. I'm examining myself as I say this to you. But please listen, please hear me. And please receive it in the spirit in which God would desire from you and from your life. Now we have an audience who's ready to listen. And if we've been the hypocrite, they'll probably be ready to tell us that. Because we're having a real conversation. They won't walk away discouraged or disheartened. They should have the courage or the understanding and the willingness to say, you know what? You've been doing the same thing. And so we can talk about that. Criticism is extremely difficult to give. And yet, it is very, very dangerous and can cause damage. The sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. The third question I like to ask before we criticize is, how am I going to say this? We've talked about this quite a bit, but we'll just stay in Proverbs. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. I know what I need to say. I know who I need to say it to. And so now it's all about delivery. I began by saying that we want to say these things in the right spirit. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So we're looking at this picture of someone who's going to speak, someone who's going to say something. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Proverbs 15 and verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men. I'm sorry, Proverbs 25. I was still in Proverbs 15. I was wondering why that didn't make sense. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. A word, this is a good proverb. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. You see where that context is coming from? Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. That I have the wisdom I need to share with you and to help you along life's path, but you also have an ear that is one of obedience. That I know that our relationship that we have, that you've been good to listen before and that you've benefited from that. And so I can speak with wisdom, I can speak in the right spirit, I can speak knowing that you'll receive that. And as a listener, you too know that my intentions are right and that you will benefit from spending time with a wise and gentle person who loves you. You'll benefit from that, even if the sayings are difficult. Colossians chapter 4 is our final verse this morning. And I really do believe that it sums it all up. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That really does say it all for us. Walk with wisdom toward those who are outside. This would be those who are outside the faith, outside the church, those who need our help and our godly instruction more than anyone else. That we want to reach out, we want to help someone who does not know the Lord as they should. We want to encourage them, we want to help them to step aside or to step out of this trap that they're headed towards. We need to walk with wisdom toward those who are outside, to say those things that are needed, but to say it in such a wholesome and healthy way that it can't be refused. And how do we do that? By letting our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. It's interesting in this passage that Paul says that you may know how to answer, that how you ought to answer each one. When you speak with grace, have you imparted grace to the hearer? When they finish this conversation, do they know, even though there's criticism or there's correction, do they know that grace was heavily applied when you offer that criticism? We can term that any way that we want. One way, and oftentimes the best way, when we offer criticism is to say to someone, I've been in your shoes. I feel like I'm qualified to help you with this particular problem that I see in your life because, boy, I've done it. And I've definitely taken the wrong steps. Or I've gone through this. I was encouraged by someone else who knew better, and they helped me, and I just want to offer that to you. That is a great encouraging way. It's just grace upon grace. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? Is there something we can talk about seriously? Are you willing to meet me for coffee or to go and to have a bite together so that we can visit and talk about things that matter? Then that person knows that there's love in your heart, that your intentions are pure and your intentions are right. Your intentions are good. It is important, brothers and sisters, that we reach out to those who are lost. And it's important that we reach out to those who are of the faith, but they've walked away. Do you know someone like that? They need godly criticism. If you know someone who has been in the Lord's church, who has tasted the glorious gift from God through confession and obedience, baptism, walking in faith, walking in the light in years past, that they do need to be criticized. They would far be better off to receive criticism from you today and make the correction than to see the Lord face to face in their rebellion. Are you ready to say what has to be said? Have you thought about these things? Have you prepared your heart? Or have you dismissed them as not your problem? There's some people who need us to go to them and to talk to them. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Sometimes good, healthy, constructive criticism is the very way to do it. When we leave this place, we want to do that in the right spirit, with the right heart, with pure intentions, wholesome intentions for those that we love. I hope this lesson has been helpful to you. Before we criticize, let's think about these things and let's offer this constructive criticism in a godly way. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the gospel invitation, to confess the name of Jesus, to put him on in baptism, to repent of your sins, to turn away from the sin in your life, and to walk faithfully before the Lord, there's an opportunity given to you now to do that. We want you to come forward. If we can help you in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing.
Who will follow Jesus? Stand before the Lord. Yeah.